Any Easter eggs this morning, Clarker?
Got 3 kids, so they're excited about Easter, and obviously we got a bit of an Easter hunt and parade for the kids after training today, so that'll be a bit of fun. Plenty of fans down here, which is good. He's okay. He's just got a knock to the knee, and we're hoping it'll settle down. We had a scan earlier in the week and thought it was going to be okay, but then he didn't progress over the next 3 days, so it just wasn't. You know, we had to name our side on Thursday, and just wasn't worth around fiddling around. You know, he's obviously got history with the knee. We just want to settle as best we can. But from what we can gather, it's got nothing to do with his, albeit that it's a knock to the same knee that's been sore previously. We don't think there's anything related. So hopefully that'll settle down over the next week and he'll play next week.
Difficult build up to this game externally, given the fortunes of the two sides going into it. What's really your chance given your underdogs?
Well, the feeling inside our camp is that we need to acquit ourselves a hell of a lot better than what we have, and we've been really, really disappointed with the way we've gone about it in the first 3 games of the year. The first two were okay in terms of competitiveness. Last week was a basket case game for us, and good teams respond from those sorts of situations, and we're pretty keen to get on the winning list, obviously, but it was a really, really poor performance from us last week, and we need to try to make amends tomorrow against a pretty good opponent.
And Steve, what's been the focus in the last week given what happened against Gold Coast? I mean, nothing goes right in a game like that, but what have you really zeroed in on?
Just competitiveness, you know, and it can easily turn around too, Roger. I mean, Fremantle got walloped. A couple of weeks ago, won their last 2 games, and Gold Coast themselves, who we saw the difference in them from 1 week to the next, was nearly a 200 point turnaround in terms of the fortunes of the side. So really it just comes down to a genuine commitment to the contest, and we were really poor interstate last week, and we've got to be better in the contest. We're not going to get any pardons from Geelong tomorrow, but we need to make the play, and hopefully we can acquit ourselves better, and that we've just got a bit of a sting in our tail from last week's game, because we were well below our best last week.
You mentioned, we've been asked about Jaeger, but the two unforced changes, what were you thinking there?
Well, whenever you have a loss like that, you've got to look at your side and the best way to think you can beat Geelong, and we've selected the side that we think will give us our best chance to do that. So, on the back of last week's performance, we probably had two players in the side that could put their hand up and say, I went okay for the team, the other 20. So you could make numerous changes to the side, but we just need a really strong response from our group this week.
Shields spoke about that he probably didn't do enough to help Jaeger out when the Suns went after him last week. Did that maybe shock and disappoint you a little bit, they didn't help him out enough?
Listen. I think that's just reflective of the way that we're playing our footy at the moment, you know, and that happens from time to time with every side in the competition. But we need to be better in that regard, and a whole heap of aspects of our game last week were well below our best, and we need to respond.
You've only found Tim O'Brien over James this week. You had a reasonable. Is there something that James
Disney
isn't doing
that he's playing some good footy. As I said, we've just picked a side that we think is going to be best equipped to play against Geelong, and it's as simple as that, really. You know, James played really well in the Box Hill game the last couple of games, and he'll give himself a chance if he continues to acquit himself in that sort of manner. Yeah, they've just had little grumbles. We thought they'd both be available to play this week, and they're just not quite right. Kurt's coming back from a bit of Achilles soreness, so both of those guys were hoping to be available to play in the Box Hill game, but they just didn't come up. So when we submitted our list for the injury list earlier in the week, we thought that they were going to play. Yeah.
Talking about Ty Vickery again this week, what have you made of his start for you?
Well, I think it's probably reflective of it's not about any individual, it's about our whole team. And we've got many, many players that are playing well below their best. Ty's one of those, but he's got probably a dozen teammates that are in that space as well. So, as a collective, we need to play better. We've got proven performers in our side that have played consistently well for a long period of time, and they haven't produced that sort of level to date. So we're hoping that comes sooner rather than later.
Choco had a bit to write about you this week. I know you guys are long-time friends. Have you had a chance to read what he said, and how do you digest it? What his opinion?
Yeah, well, I haven't read the article, but a friend of mine relayed what the content of it. But yeah, whenever your side is going through a tough patch, there's going to be external noise and opinion, and that's the game that we're in. But all we need to do is bunker down. It's a collective effort at our footy club. It's not about any one person. We've worked our way through tough positions before. Bruce Springsteen's got a great song, Hard Times Come, Hard Times Go. We're going through a hard time at the minute, but we're really, really strong in our resolve to pull ourselves out of this pickle that we're in and get ourselves back on the winning list. And as we've seen, it's clearly been demonstrated by a couple of sides in the last couple of weeks in Gold Coast and Fremantle, who have turned their seasons around very, very quickly, and it can happen as long as we continue to have faith in the process we've got in place here and the people that we've got in place here. And that has been the case for a long period of time, and I don't expect it to be any different in our approach in the next few weeks.
Danger was pretty handy last time, this fixture last year. What's the best way to try and control his influence?
Don't let him get the footy if you can get our hands on the ball rather than him. But he's a great player. Just because those guys, we saw in the final that they had against Sydney last year, both those guys shared about 75 or 80 possessions. It didn't guarantee that they were going to win. So, it's about a collective effort. And if our collective of 22 can just play a little bit better than Geelong, then we're going to probably secure the win. But if it's the other way around, then it's going to be really tough. But they're great players, but we've got some really good players too that if they get off the leash, then it's going to really cause some damage to Geelong. But we'll just have to wait and see how the game unfolds, and hopefully Dangerfield and Selwood, we're never going to stop them from getting the ball, but can you stop them having the type of influence? And that's what we'll be hoping for tomorrow.
If you do slip to 0-4, does it mean that you need to consider the aspirations of the season?
No, not really. I mean, at the end of the day, there's still 18 rounds to go, and in 2010 we were 1-6 and still made the final. So as long as you just have belief and resolve that you work your way out of this, then we'll be fine.
A bit of confusion with Dunkley and Bontempelli on Friday night. The AFL's cleared the decision made by Robert Findlay. What's your view on the interpretation?
Didn't see it, mate, so I can't make a comment on it.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.